How are you doing this morning? Good. It's so good to have you in church this morning. All of you joining us online, we're so glad to have you with us today, connecting this way. I think there's a lot more of you joining us online this week. There have been a lot of illnesses and sickness going around, but it's okay. I just want to say thank you to all of you who were praying for us and encouraging our family this week. As many of you know, we tested positive for the virus this week, but it's okay. I finished my quarantine, and now they've let me out of the house, and it's good. But pray for Pastor Holly. She has a weaker genes than I do, I guess, and she got it harder than I did. So, Holly, I know you're watching. There was like a murmur here. They didn't like that I said you were weaker than I was, but that's good. They're standing up for you. But just as a precaution, I won't be in the lobby afterwards. I don't have many symptoms, but I just want to keep you healthy, and we're trying to do the best we can to stay healthy during this season. How many enjoyed Pastor Adrian's great message last week called, New Normal, Same Jesus? And how many know we have a great pastoral team, and we're just really grateful for them and having them as a part of our team. I have a question for you. Okay, so you're leaving the house for the day, and besides the clothes on the back and the shoes you're wearing, what do you take with you for the day? What do you do? If you're like me, you probably have some sort of routine that you go through. It's kind of like a little dance. You start patting the pockets as you get ready to leave, right? You kind of pat the pocket. You got to have the keys, right? Got to make sure you have your keys. You're probably looking for the wallet. Got to make sure you have your wallet with you there. Probably like a mask maybe these days. But you're probably looking for this one last item you need before you leave the house. Anyone know what it is? Cell phone, that's right. How many know that 80% of Canadians never leave home without their cell phone? As we are more connected than ever. We never leave home without a cell phone, except for when you do. Anyone ever left home accidentally without your cell phone? Many times, someone said. A little while ago, last year, I had some rental equipment at the church where I was serving, and I've been tasked to take it back to the rental store that we'd gotten it from, and I'd been there many times, and I didn't think anything of it, and so I put all the gear in my car, and I drove to where the rental equipment store used to be, and as I pulled up in front, I realized that they had moved. The problem was, I didn't know where they'd moved to. And so I started doing the dance. Okay, where's my phone? And this is the worst in the winter, right? When you have your winter coat on, there's like so many extra pockets, you know, you have to go through them 2-3 times to make sure. And there's always like one hidden pocket somewhere that you forgot about. But as I was looking for my phone, I quickly realized that I had left home without my phone. And all of a sudden, I felt so disconnected. I felt so lost and helpless. Anyone ever felt that way when you didn't have your phone, right? All of a sudden, I began to realize I couldn't Google the address. I couldn't text a friend to find out where they would move to. I couldn't call anyone. It's funny how we have phones, right? Like, but all of a sudden, like that's the progression of thought now. Like, my thought is like Google first and then text and then call if it's an emergency, right? It's funny how that works. But I felt so lost and helpless. I couldn't figure out how to get to the store. And then all of a sudden, I snapped out of it. And I remember that I was born before everyone had phones. And we all survived back in those days. And that there would be a way to get through this. And so what I did is I went to the furniture store. And I went in, and the lady was so eager to help me buy a sofa or an appliance of some sort. But I quickly let her know, I just need you to look on your computer and tell me, how do I get to the store? She was fortunate to help me out. And how many can relate to losing that connection? Anyone ever forgot your phone at home? Maybe you've been out for the day, and you've been out for so long, you forgot to charge your battery, and your battery goes dead. Or maybe you were driving somewhere, and the service wasn't good, and you were in a dead zone, right? And you lose your connection. We live in an age where connection is highly valued. We do a lot to make sure that we stay connected. We make sure our phones are charged. Some of us have like a backup charger to take with us. We make sure that our signal is strong. And how we know that this is an incredible device when it's connected, but its use is significantly restricted when it's not. It's significantly restricted. My kids know all about connection because my kids, they don't have their own data plan yet. They have, you know, they're relying on Wi-Fi for their devices. And so when they lose home, they lose connection. And so what they're always doing is saying, Dad, can I hotspot from your phone? And in case you're not tech savvy, any non-technical people here yet, I don't know if that's possible after like 2 years of COVID and pandemic, but if you're not technical, hotspotting is basically when their device connects to my device to use my cell phone data. And so I wonder if that's how the disciples felt a little bit in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Luke 11, 1 says, once Jesus was in a certain place praying, and as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now my kids, they ask if they could hotspot for my connection, because without it, they can't refresh what they're doing. Without it, they can't communicate. They're cut off from the potential and the purpose of their device. And as the disciples observed Jesus praying, they recognized that Jesus was tapped into something that they needed and wanted. They recognized that there was a presence and a power of God present in Jesus' prayers, and they were moved by it. It kindled in their hearts this yearning, this desire to know the same intimacy with the Father that Jesus had. They could sense in Jesus' prayer life this connection and communication with God, and they wanted it for themselves. And so they said, Jesus, would you teach us to pray? Now, as good Jewish boys, they would have known a lot about prayer. They would have grown up in the synagogue. They would have prayed before every meal. They would have prayed throughout the day. They would have prayed on Sabbath days and holy days. You can say that they were familiar with praying religiously. They prayed religiously. But something seemed different between their prayers and Jesus' prayers. You know, their prayers, they seem to lack some of the depth and the power they experienced when Jesus was praying. Listening to Jesus pray was certainly different than when they'd heard the other rabbis at the synagogue praying. It was different than the recitations that they had been taught since they were children. Prayer, you see, had moved from being a concept to a conduit of life-giving relationship and connection with the Father. This morning, I want to encourage you that as much as we go to great lengths to be connected to our family and our friends and our followers on social media, there is a connection that you and I must tap into and cultivate. It's a presence that can sustain us. It's a conduit of life-giving relationship that brings refreshing and renewal to us. You know, we might be living with restrictions in our culture right now. We might be living socially distant from each other, but how we know we are never restricted or distant from the presence of God. He invites us into his close proximity. He invites us into intimacy with him. You know, prayer, it has been said, is simply talking to God. Talking to God. You know, some people get really freaked out about prayer. They get really stressed out. They feel like their prayers won't be long enough or eloquent enough. They're fearful that their prayers won't be powerful enough. But prayer is simply talking to God. But it's also so much more. How many know that something can be simple but not simplistic? Prayer is simply talking to God. It's simple, but it's not simplistic. You know, my girls love to dance. Any dancers in the house? Any like dads who love to dance in the kitchen? I'm a kitchen dancer. And what I mean by that is that you will never see me dancing in public. You know, the extent of my worship dancing is kind of like a little bob back and forth. You know, just keep it right here. This is, you know, keep it in the zone. This is the zone for me. But my girls love to dance. And they over quarantine, they've been doing TikTok dances. And if you don't know anything about TikTok, you know, don't worry about it if you don't know what that is. But these TikTok dances are these little simple dances that kind of to go viral online. And so I asked my girls, teach me how to dance. It looks so cool when you do it. But then they start to show me it's a simple little dance, and yet your feet go one way and your hips go another way and your arms are flailing all about. And how many know you can be simple but not simplistic? And I don't know how they make it look cool. You got to do all of that and make it look cool. It's like you got to make it look like you're not even trying. And they don't get it from Holly or I. I'll just tell you that much today. Simple, but not simplistic. Prayer is simply talking to God. But when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, he answers their request with a prayer so brief and yet so profound. A prayer so simple but not simplistic. So subtle but so much going on at the same time. One author put it this way, it was an ocean of truth in a drop of speech. This prayer that Jesus prayed. See, in this one simple prayer, Jesus, he lays out all the principles that govern humanity's relationship with God. In this one prayer, he talks about reverence and repentance and submission and dependence. In this one little prayer, he combines all the divine promises of God with all the human aspirations of our hearts. In this one prayer, he makes it so universal that every generation, every situation, every tribe and nation, this prayer is relevant. Yes, this prayer is simply talking to God, but in its simplicity, there's this life-giving richness and power to be discovered. And so it's with that in mind, I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 6 today. If you have your Bibles with us, Matthew chapter 6, or you could read along on the screens. And we're starting a new sermon series today called When You Pray. When You Pray. Would you say that with me? Would you say, when you pray? When you pray. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be examining Jesus' teaching on prayer. We're going to be diving into the depths of the Lord's Prayer. We're going to be looking at prayer through this acronym of PRAY. PRAY is simply praise, repent, ask, and yield. Now, I know it's simple, but you'll find that it's not simplistic. And so I'm just going to encourage you to keep trucking along with us as we go through this series. In the simplicity, we'll discover the powerful principles that the disciples were seeking to learn from Jesus. And my prayer is that as we're on this journey together, that we will have an increased inspiration to pray. And that we will begin to be inspired to press in to what God has for us in a fresh and powerful way. Are you ready for that? Awesome. So whether prayer is part of your regular life or whether it's a new habit that you're trying to cultivate this new year, I'm believing for breakthroughs, for miracles, for transformations, for blessing, refreshing from God today. That's my prayer for you. That's what I've been praying over our church, over our staff, over our congregation, over our city. How many know that to get through this pandemic season, you gotta pray? M.C. Hammer, that great theologian, said, you got to pray just to make it today. Now, some of you are going to go home, and that's going to be stuck in your head all day. Come on, yeah, there's someone's being blessed in the back over there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, says Jesus, he dives right into this teaching on prayer. He says, when you pray, would you say it with me? When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward that they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. The first thing we see here is that prayer is not a performance. And some of you introverts, some of you who don't like to pray in public, you're like, oh, thank God. See, Pastor Jeremy, I don't need to pray in public. Well, this isn't saying that we should never pray in public. The Bible also says where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there in their midst. So we're not always praying privately. But this is saying that prayer isn't meant to be a monologue by you, but a moment with God. Prayer is not a monologue, but a moment with God. How many know you can never substitute being around the things of God for spending time and being alone with God? This is what we're talking about today. You can't just have a public worship life and a public prayer life without having a private worship life and a private prayer life. So we see here that prayer isn't a performance. Let's keep reading verse 7. It says, when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do, when they think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Now, in a moment, we're going to see that Jesus is going to give us a pattern of prayer, not an incantation. This is a pattern of prayer. See, the power and the blessing of prayer is not found in the words that we use. If we pray in Old King James, it doesn't make our prayers more powerful. It makes them poetic, but not powerful. You know, the words that we use aren't the source of power, and the number of times we repeat them don't make God respond to us. It's not like some religious recital to somehow earn God's favor or response. It says that when we pray, we believe that God hears us, but it also says that he already knows what we need. Well, we'll get to that in more depth in a moment. But what we see here is that the point of prayer, what Jesus is really going to teach us today, is that prayer is more about what God wants to do in us before we get to what we'd like to do, what we'd like for God to do for us. Prayer is about what God wants to do in us before it's about what we'd like God to do for us. And so to that end, Jesus says, pray like this in verse 9. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. This is really a statement of praise. This is really talking about the holiness and the praiseworthiness of God. Praise sets the tone for your prayer life. Sometimes we think of praise and worship as something separate. That's the music. But we see praise as part of our prayer life. When you pray, begin with praise. Begin with praising God. Now, I know that sounds really basic, that prayer begins with God. But how many times do our prayers begin with us? Right? They begin with our needs and our feelings. You know, what? Ask yourself, what initiated me to pray in the first place? I felt some sort of need or some sort of feeling that made me pray to ask and beseech God for something. You know, I have one of my kids, I'm picking on my kids really bad today. They're not here today. Kids, when you're online, you know, we'll see you when I get home and you can let me have it then. But one of my kids is really brief and succinct and to the point. You know, they call me. And when I pick up the phone, there's no like, hey, dad. There's no, how is your day going, dad? They get right to the point. Can you pick up more milk? And then they hang up. There's no small talk. It's just direct and to the point. In our self-centered orientation sometimes, we often forget to praise God in our prayers. See, beginning with praise fixes our sights on God and not on our needs. Beginning with praise sets our sights on God. It's not that God needs his ego boosted. That's not what praise is about. It's not that God needs to be sweet-talked into what we're going to ask him to do. Remember, I said a moment ago that Jesus' primary teaching on prayer is really about what God wants to do in us before it is what we would like God to do for us. Praise does more for us than it does for God. Praise sets our gaze on who God is, and as a result, it elevates and fuels our faith. J. Oswald Sanders, he writes this. He says, if God is not given the chief place in our prayers, in our prayers will be anemic. When our thoughts begin with him, love is kindled and faith is stimulated. So when you pray, begin with praise. Begin with praising God for who he is. Begin with praising God for his person. Jesus says, our Father. That's not a normal way that the disciples would connect with God. The disciples would know of God as Abba. They would say, God, our Father. But their concept of Father was not that God wants to be connected with his people relationally. It was foreign to them. But it's important for you and I to have the right view of God because it dictates how we relate to God. How we view someone will dictate how we relate to them, right? And so if we view God as Santa Claus working from a naughty and nice list, that affects how we relate to him, right? We're trying to do good and trying not to get on the bad list, and we're trying to, you know, keep a score. If we relate to God as a slave master punishing mistakes but keeping us at a distance relationally, then we live in fear of God. We live with a respect of God, but there's a distance and a disconnect from God. But when we view God and understand God as our creator who delights in his creation, when we see God as our loving father caring for his children, engaging with his children relationally, it draws us in to this place of relationship with him. See, when we begin with God in mind, it allows our thoughts to be drawn to God's holiness, to his sovereignty, to his wisdom, to his faithfulness, to his love, and to his grace. And as a result, it stimulates and kindles, as Sanders said here, it stimulates our faith and our love in response to him. When you pray, begin with praising God for his person. Also begin to praise God for his place. He says, our Father in heaven. Simply put, when we recognize God's place, it puts us in our place, doesn't it? And when we recognize God's place, we recognize that God is above us, but he's also above our circumstances and our situation. Begin to praise God for his place in our lives and begin to praise God for his purposes. Jesus continues in verse 10, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is reminding us here of the priority of our priorities. He's saying right here that in beginning to praise God, we're reminded that the first concern of every believer and follower of Jesus should be God's glory and not his gifts. Our first concern is the glorification of our God and not the gifts that he gives to us. See, while our needs are important to us and they're pressing in the moment, the priority of the Christian life is the kingdom of God and the proclamation of God's lordship and kingship around us. God reigns. When we begin with praising God, we get something deeper than just an answer to our prayer and the gifts of God. When we begin with praising God in prayer, we get something deeper than just an answer to our prayer. What we get is a revelation of who God is in our life. What we get is a revelation of God's place in our life. We get a revelation of God's purpose in our life. The key to the depth and to the power and the sense of intimacy and the connection that the disciples had been moved by was that Jesus had a depth to his prayer that wasn't just about receiving an answer to his request, but it was about a connection with the Father. I love Rich Wilkerson Jr. He says, if you only pray when you have a problem, you've got a problem. I want to encourage you today that when we begin our prayer in praise, we gain perspective that aligns our will and our desire and the rest of our prayer requests to the will and the desire of God. It fuels our faith so that when we do pray, we know that God hears us. We know that we have what we ask of him. 1 John 5:14 says we are confident that he hears us when we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our requests, we know that he will give us what we ask for. How do we know what God wants to give us? Because we've spent time at the heart of God, connecting with him. Circling back, I want to answer this question today about why pray if God already knows what we need? We read that a moment ago. For your Father in heaven knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. And this is the answer I believe that Jesus is showing us in this incredibly brief yet profound prayer, is that prayer is more than an appeal. Prayer is more than an appeal. It's about more than presenting our needs and our want and our request to God. Prayer is demonstrating our understanding of God's character. Prayer is acknowledging God's authority in our life, and prayer is expressing submission to God's will. See, when we pray, we are in the position then to handle the blessing that God wants to give us. You know, we talk about entitlement as a problem for younger generations, and sometimes that's something that we label different demographics as, you know, entitled. But how many know we all have a sense of entitlement at times? But when we pray, we are acknowledging who God is in our lives. Now, I'm just realizing now that all of my illustrations are about my kids today. But one of my kids, my oldest kid, she wanted to have social media a couple years ago. And they have restrictions on, you know, age limits and what's appropriate for kids. And we had a conversation with her. You know, she said, well, my friends turned 12 or 13 and they were able to get. And we, our conversation with them was that just because you reach a certain age doesn't mean that you're able to handle what's out there. It's not based on age. It's based on maturity. It's based on emotional maturity. We talked to her about emotional. Can you handle the responsibility and the opportunity that comes with the blessing of receiving whatever it is you're getting? And so we talked about this conversation surrounding that. How many know that sometimes we want God to bless us, but we're not mature spiritually enough to handle God's blessing? If we have an entitled feeling, God, you owe me. God, look what I've done for you, so I deserve. How do we know that those are immature spiritual attitudes that are signaling to us that we are not able yet to handle the blessing, even though God wants to give it to us? We have some maturing to do. Prayer is about maturing us to receive God's blessing. Because when I begin to understand God's character and I acknowledge God's authority and I submit myself to God's will, now I'm in the position to handle the answers to my prayer, to handle the blessings that God wants to give. See, prayer is about more than an appeal. It's about aligning our lives to God. When you pray, begin with praise. Now, I know that this has been a difficult time for many of us, and we've been trying to manage our emotions, our circumstances. We've all been trying to manage our lives in different ways, and I know that we are all desperately in need of a fresh touch of God. We're desperately in need of fresh guidance, a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, a fresh direction and provision, and just that presence of God. We all need a fresh revelation of who God is. Amen? How many want a fresh perspective of God's purpose for your life and the world around you? How many believe that we need a fresh touch of heaven today? Yeah, okay. Let me say that again. How many believe we need a fresh touch of heaven today? Amen. Amen. How many online? You know, you can write us in the chat. Say, I believe in the chat today. Well, as Pastor Adrian said, over the next 21 days, we're going to be uniting our hearts in prayer together. I want to encourage you to be part of this. Every day at noon on Facebook and Instagram Live, we're going to have some directed prayers. If you can't make it, that's okay. The videos will be there afterwards. You can log on, and I encourage you to participate with them. It's only going to be about 15 minutes at lunchtime. So if you can, please do log on and be a part of that. On our social media a feed you're going to say. See that there's going to be daily themes, verses for the day. Maybe you want to do this as a family. My family, I've already told my kids, we're going to be doing over the next 21 days this prayer journey together. You know, it's an important season for us, as Adrian said, as a church. Right now in this pandemic, that, you know, our culture is questioning everything. And so it's important for our church to be vitalized and ready to respond and ready to engage with people when they have questions about faith and culture and the future. It's also an important opportunity, as we've just come through a pastoral transition, to reevaluate, God, what is the vision and purpose for Bethel Church? What does the future hold for us? And we're going to be getting into vision conversations in the near future. And so we want to have our hearts and our minds ready for that. You know, here's something I've learned about prayer, is when we don't pray, it's never because we don't want to. It's always because we didn't plan to. I talk to people all the time that say, I'd like to pray more, I wish I could pray more, I think I should pray more. But yet when I say, why don't you pray more? It just becomes down to the fact that they don't plan to. Imagine that. But I want you to take time to plan to pray with us, even for 15 minutes a day over the next 21 days. And so we're going to be doing this together. If you're not on Instagram or Facebook, you don't have an account, you can still log on to facebook.com/BethelPenticton/live. You can still view the videos there if you are not a part of the Facebook community. But as we go, if you have requests, would you email them to us? Let us know, info@betheltab.ca. We want to hear from you what you're praying for. If you have answers to prayer in the next 3 weeks, we want to hear from you. We want to celebrate with you. And I believe as we do this together, as God begins to stir something fresh in our hearts, as we're going to come together on a night of worship and prayer and celebration on Sunday, January 30th at 6 p.m. So mark your calendars for that. I believe that we're going to have such a night of celebration. Amen? Who believes that we'll be celebrating what God's done in us and through us if we all commit to taking the next 3 weeks to seek God's heart in a fresh and powerful way? We'll want to pray with you. Well, we're going to celebrate communion together today. And in just a moment, if you haven't got yours yet, you can just grab it right now. But today, I wanted to take a moment to allow our prayers to shape our communion moment. And so whether you're a new believer and prayer is new to you, or maybe you've been a believer for a while, but prayer isn't something that you've really developed a lot in your life, how do we praise God? Well, one of the main ways of doing that is allowing Scripture to begin to inform our thoughts, to begin to inform our impression of who God is. And so this is what we're going to do. I'm going to pray in just a moment, and then we're going to take some time. If you're at home, I will encourage you to do this here in this auditorium. We're going to do communion just a little differently today. You have your cups, you have your wafer, your juice there. But what I'm going to do is we're going to just take a moment just to pause in quiet reflection. We're going to put a passage of Scripture on the screen, Psalm 145, and it just talks about who God is. And I want you to read this psalm and allow it to stir up feelings and thoughts of praise. Let it begin to shape a prayer of praise in you. And in that moment, as you are reflecting on who God is, maybe you came with someone today, you're sitting beside them. When you're ready, I want you just to take a moment and pray together and thank God for who He is, and then take that communion together. If you're here by yourself, that's okay. Just take a moment and just begin to do this by yourself. That's okay. And that's how we're going to do communion today. So we're going to take the next 5 minutes or so, read through this passage, Psalm 145, and let it begin to elicit a prayer of praise in your heart today. When you're ready, take communion where you are, and then in the next few moments, then we'll come back together and we'll pray. Jesus, I just thank you right now, Lord, in this communion moment, as we worship you and we praise you with our prayers today, Lord God, that you would elicit a response in us. God, would there be a yearning for more of you? God, would there be a revelation of who you are? God, would there be an inspiration and an encouragement to our souls today that you see us and you know us, that you hear our praise and our prayers, that you go before us. God, that you fight our battles and that you make our way straight. And so as we do all of that, God, and then we come to that moment of communion, God, where we're reminded of the greatest sacrifice, God, that you gave your life for us. But not only that you gave your life, but you rose again and you live, the Bible says, to make intercession. You live to pray on our behalf. So God, in this moment, would you lead our thoughts, shape our hearts towards yours. In your name we pray. Well, as I was reading that, I just was thinking of the goodness and the greatness of God. As I was reading this, let me just read verse 13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You rule through all generations. How many know that we've been praying for our kids and our youth and our parents? This is a great promise. The Lord always keeps his promises. He's gracious in all that he does. The Lord helps the fallen and lifts those bent beneath their loads. I'm going to encourage you to stand this morning. As we've prayed, as we've praised, and as we've worshiped, our hearts have been focused and drawn to who God is. I just thought this morning we could just celebrate God one more time. Just what you just right now, just begin to where you are. Begin to praise him, thank him for what he's done in your life. Begin to thank him for who he is.